I'd like to start with a verse in 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. The 15th verse says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil." I know those words were penned a long, long time ago, but I think they're still very relevant to today. I've set before you a choice. You have a choice in life. I have a choice. God wants us to make a choice, a good choice. So He sets it before us. You may say, "I'm not ready to make a choice." Or, "I'm going to put off that choice. I'm not going to make a choice." But you make a choice when you don't make a choice. That's a choice. The fact that He set the choice means that you're bound and determined to make it. You've got to either accept it or deny it. The fact that it's made. "I have set before you this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord God." He told us what the choices was. Then He expounded to what it really means. There is only one thing that brings good, life and good, into life. It's that we love the Lord our God. That's really the choice. Have you ever seen someone and just said, I'd like to get to know them better"? Maybe you meet someone or something and you don't know them real well. I've known a number of times when I got saved and started around the church, there was a number of people that I would meet, and I would meet them every once in a while, and sometimes you click with somebody. You ever notice that sometimes first time you meet somebody, you just click, and you're right there. And then for whatever reason, you can meet somebody sometimes, and you're not a bad person. They're not a bad person. You're not, and you, how you doing? And then you both kind of stand there blank at one another, and I don't know what to say. I don't know who you are. I don't know what your likes are. I don't know what you've been doing. I don't know what to ask you, or I don't know. So you usually would say something, and you go away, and you meet again, and, "Hi, how you doing? It's good to see you again." I don't know, three or four times. You ever been in a place like that? And you get to saying, I'd like to know them better, but I don't know how. You know what I find out that happened in my life? At some point or another, those people in my life, or some of you here that was like that, to be honest with you, what happened is that I got put into a place with you that we had to work together. We had to do it. All of a sudden, we started learning something about one another. And it wasn't just how you do it. You wanted to do it, and the folks at Holly Hill, South Carolina, for years, they would come up to Green Bank, and they would come up, and it was so warm with everybody, and everybody was so warm with them, and they seemed like fine people, and I'd go up and stand there with a blank look on my face. I didn't know them. And then I went down and stayed with them. And I never have had that since. Once I went down there and stayed with them, then it was all that was gone. And I got to know them. I got to know them better. You know what the Lord really wants of us? I know we have this congregations that we get together, church, and it's right that it's me. God set up public worship. It's in the Bible. It's the way He set it up. But we are to have a relationship with the Lord that we bring, that we have with the Lord. I desire that I want to know the Lord better. That's what life and good really is. It really is a relationship with the Lord. That's what makes life. That's what makes good things in life. To shun that tonight, that choice,
It isn't like if I shun tonight that did I die tonight. It is promised death and evil. But it isn't like that I die right tonight. It's that I'm in the process of dying. It's a death sentence. It's a death to good things. It is death. Death will work. Corruption will work in life without the Lord. And he sets it there. And what he is really setting before us, God is really opening up and saying to us, I am opening myself up. I am setting before you the opportunity for you to know God Almighty. I'm opening up the place that I can allow. I'm going to allow humankind to have a relationship with me. That you can know me. That you can talk to me. That you can learn to love me. You know, if you know him, you're going to love him. He's a loving God. You get to know him, you're going to respect him. You get to know him and you're not going to want to disappoint this one. When you really get to know him, it is the essence of all that we do, why we should do everything that we do. Because we can really get up here and hammer home, or we can try to get you to do something, or even we can instruct, and every honest heart wants instructed. Every honest heart wants to know how to worship the Lord. But that's all that we can do, is tell honest hearts how to worship the Lord. What we really want to try to do is to get honest hearts. What we really want to do is promote in every one of us a loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. A personal relationship. I've heard this all my life. Any minister worth his salt can only point you to Christ. I can't do anything for you. Only thing I can do is tell you about one that holds everything to you. He holds life and good tonight. And in that life and good, it is a relationship with the Lord. Where I know the Lord in my own personal life. I know he answers prayer for us. And I appreciate somebody that stands up and says, the Lord done this for me. And I can sit and say, I do this a lot. Well, it's just like him. It's just like him. Somebody will stand up and say, the Lord blessed me and touched me and healed me. And I'm sitting there thinking, it's just like him. That's the same one I know. That's the same one that helps me. That's the same one that encourages me when I'm down. That's the same one there that's to hold my hand, lift me up, encourage me, help me along life. That's the same one. I don't doubt your testimony. I can't verify it. I wasn't there. I don't know what I was doing. But I say it's just like the Lord. It's just like the Lord. So he says, Tonight I set before you myself. I set myself before you. Are you interested? Are you interested in one that can save your soul, deliver you, help you? Are you one of that? Because there's a default on every life, folks. There's a default. That default is death. That default, because of sin, is a death sentence on every one of us. You can't say, I'm not going to choose. Because there's a default. At one point, God made man with his default setting to holiness. Had he done nothing else, his default was made in the image of God. But after Adam sinned, we didn't come into this world with our default system set to holiness. It was set to corruption. It's set to foul things. It's set to corruption. So the Lord had to come and say, now in your corrupt state, I'm going to set before you life and good. Death and evil. And then I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. This is what life and good is to pursue God and to know God, to know who he is. You know, it pleases the Lord for us to understand him. It's not God that's holding back himself from us just because he wants to. It's that we're in our mortal state. We can't comprehend him. It's got to take something for the Lord to open up our lives to Him. And it pleases the Lord to do that. I'm reminded of something that Brother Ed Wilson said a while back in a message. He was talking about Abraham and his offering of Isaac. And I really appreciated this because it answered a lot of questions in my mind. But in that scenario of Abraham and Isaac and the sacrifice of Isaac, there's a beautiful story in that. That Abraham, in this role, this shadow, Abraham was playing a role. You know what his role was? He was God the Father in that role. See, Isaac was a representation of Christ being sacrificed and offered. And God so willing to witness to Abraham, allowed him to see Abraham like no other man ever saw him. Think of that. God allowed Abraham to set in the position that God Himself was going to set in. And he actually got to feel what God was going to feel at the most important time in human history. Abraham sat in that role. God allowed him to be in that role of understanding God. You know what Jesus wants of our lives? What God wants? He wants us to experience Jesus Christ. Do you know that? He wants us to experience Jesus. He will allow us to be in roles and situations in life that is just like Jesus was. So that I can know Him. I can know Jesus. There was a man named Stephen. Remember Stephen? Stephen was a man that was full of the Holy Ghost, and he was looking for the Lord, and he was telling that, and he gave words, and the words that he in Acts, think about the 7th chapter, he was speaking. He sounded like some of the Lord's words, and he preached that message to him, and do you know they were coming, and he got to sit in the place that Christ had been in. He was being stoned to death, and he sat into that role, and he acted. He actually responded like Jesus. He said, lay not this to their charge. The last thing he said was, lay not this to their charge. He was put into the place that evil men was persecuting him, and he had the great privilege of having the Holy Spirit and the grace of God on his life until he could exemplify Christ. Oh, there's nothing better, Lord, that we might know you. Lord, I want to know the Lord. So he sets it before us and says to all of those that have a desire, I set myself before you. Follow me. Follow my commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. I set you before me. Come, look, see, taste and see. And I'll bless you in your life. And what happens if we don't? It says, but if thine heart turn away, and thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God. Do you love the Lord? Yes. I hope the answer is that yes, but I'm going to tell you, words can be cheap. Yes. When you say, I love the Lord, I'm going to tell you something. You're saying a lot. And it's a high proclamation to say that I love the Lord. Because when you love the Lord, you're going to have feet on that. And you're going to have hands on that. And you're going to do something because of it. It's going to cause you to do things that you would otherwise not do. Because I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I'm going to step into that realms of the Lord. I love the. Why do I love Him? I love Him because He died for me. Therefore, He's my hero. If I had a poster of anybody, I'd want it to be the Lord, even though I don't know how you'd have a poster of the Lord. But if you could have one, I don't know. I'd want, he's my hero. If there's anybody I want to emulate, it's Jesus. I'm saying a lot here tonight. If I anybody I want to emulate, it's him. And he died for the sinner. Am I suggesting that I would die for a sinner? If I say I love the Lord, I'm suggesting that. I'm suggesting that I have the attributes. I desire the attributes. I'll say that. I desire the attributes of the Lord Jesus. I want to love when I'm not loved. I want to have the victory that he had over these things. I know some of them said about the Lord, when he could feed the 5,000, they'll follow him around. But he said, you didn't follow me for the miracles. You didn't follow me for the reality. You followed me just to get your flesh fed. You didn't love me and really want to be like me. You just wanted to have some benefit to it. But we can say beyond that if we say, I love the Lord. I want to choose the Lord. The Lord will allow you in your life to come into places, I guarantee you, that you'll have the privilege of being able to exemplify the Lord in these kind of places as a witness to Christ. It's been this way since he came. The church has grown and benefited, and the kingdom has been raised up in times of persecution, in times of tribulation. Why? Because that's where the Lord was seen the most through his people. It's where it was exemplified the strongest. When a person's willing to say, I'll die for the Lord, there's a great testimony and witness that follows that along. I like to say, I love the Lord. Lord, help me. When I say that, to mean it, and I'll do what you want me to do. Over in the fourth chapter of Hosea, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. God has a conflict, it's saying. Got a conflict with you. A controversy. That's an awful thing to think, isn't it? That God would have a controversy with me. God had a controversy with the land. Well, the land, I think that's a certain way of speech. You know, if you use the land to grow things, you expect out of the land. This is God's world. God put a world here and made a way, and it's the whole duty of man to fear God and keep his commandments. And so out of God's world and out of God's earth, and because, folks, listen, because we eat his food, drink his water, breathe his air, God has an expectation that we're going to give glory to him. Because we live by his energy and strength, and because he created us, he has an expectation that out of that garden ought to come fruit. We can use his air to say things we oughtn't say. We can use the strength that we get in our bodies from the food to go places we oughtn't go. We're using God's things, and he has a right to expect us to use those things to bring the glory back to him. So he has a controversy when that's not there. I would say, without a doubt, God has a controversy with this country. More and more, there's a controversy with this country. I say the world in general, but I ain't in all the world. But I'll say of this country, more and more, God has a controversy with this land. Because more and more, they are doing away as far as they can with even the reality of God. I wouldn't want to talk of God. We don't want God mentioned. We want to leave God out of it as much as we can. I think God has a controversy today. Well, I can't speak to all them, but I can speak to us. We don't want God to have a controversy with us. We don't want a controversy between us and the Lord. This is why he has a controversy, because there is no truth. How valuable is truth to you? Just the truth. The truth. You know, there's a truth. God instituted marriage of one man, get me here, one man and one woman. That is a truth. You don't, you wrestle around any way you want to, world, country, you can do anything you want to, voting, do anything you want to. Listen, we love everybody. We love them. We love all people. God loves all people. But I'm going to tell you, there's a death sentence on choosing your own way. I wish the whole world could know and understand and see by vision or understanding what is going to befall a country that turns away from God. It isn't prosperous. It can't prosper. It's death and evil that will follow. There is a truth. Do you love the truth? Do you want the truth? It says because there's no truth. Well, I want a truth. Truth in my life. I can't deal with the whole world. I look and I am concerned. I look and it bothers me. I look around and I say, how can people be so naive? So lost? How can we go so far with these kind of things in our world? I'm going to tell you an absolute truth. It isn't godly to destroy our unborn children. I'll tell you something else. They are alive and they are already human. It's a no-brainer. The scriptures declare it, but it doesn't take that really. It takes just observation. I know it. I've had a number of children. I've had them kick me before they was born. I've had them. I know they're alive. It's not hard to figure. But yet the world acting like it's not. And God has a controversy with these things. It's not just that it's happening. It's the heart. It's the heart of man. Why have you gone so far away? Suppose probably we're not guilty of those things here. But there is a truth that every one of us ought to be concerned about. And that's the truth about me. The truth about me. And a willingness to be able to face that. Because I'm going to tell you, if I'm not willing to have truth in my life and about myself, I'm going to have a controversy with God. Because God is wanting honesty in us. An honesty enough that He can deal with us in His Spirit. That He can deal with us, that we can work together. We can't work unless we're honest with one another. We can't work unless we're honest with ourselves. God wants us to have an honesty about ourselves, a truth. This is important, the truth. It's very important. It's about truth about me and God. I can put on a facade with you all. I can put on an act with you all. Maybe you'll see me through. Maybe you won't see through it. But God sees it. I can't afford that in my life. And God has a controversy with that. With untruth. There's no truth. Nor mercy. Well, that's cried for a lot in this land. There's a lot of things that take care of people and those kind of things. But mercy's always been important to God. God is a merciful God. We should love mercy. So if somebody messes up, do we hold it on them? Do we look at our own selves and say, God, forgive me? God wants a merciful people. A forgiving people. That's what God wants us to have, those elements that, you know, God is a true God of truth. Hates every false way. He's a God of truth. He's a God of mercy. When I say I love the Lord, I've got to say I love truth and I love mercy. I have to say it because that's what He is. I love God for that. I love Him because He's a God of truth. I can't trust things that's not true. I just say, well, God said some things are true and some that's not. No, He said everything is true. If He didn't, it's meaningless. He's a God of truth. He's a God of mercy. I'm glad that He's a God of mercy. I've needed mercy. And God's a God of mercy. And I've counted, Lord, thank You for being a God of mercy. Thank You for Your loving kindness towards us. Thank You for that. I hold that in high array. And Lord, help me. Help me as a person to be somebody that loves mercy. Help me to be somebody that looks for places to be able to exemplify mercy. Help me to be somebody that wants to show mercy. I want to be able to show mercy because God has been so merciful to me. I want to be merciful. I choose that. It's set before us to choose it. Nor knowledge of God in the land. In a land where there's no knowledge of God. I think it goes beyond being able to say, well, I believe there's a God out there somewhere doing something. Or even to say, I believe there was a God that created this. Makes sense to me. You know, this goes far, far beyond that. Having a knowledge of God. When you get a knowledge of God, I'm going to say this. One of the reasons why our country is going the way it is, the world's going the way it is because there's no knowledge of God. When you start believing in God, you believe what He said. And God declared that there is a place where people go when they die. A knowledge of God will bring that fear to us. The Bible declares that every one of us' knees going to bow. And every tongue's going to confess. We can do it here. But you're going to do it. The knowledge of God is saying that we're going to meet Him. What am I going to meet? I'm going to meet an aura. I'm going to meet an energy force. I'm going to meet something out there that people describe that God that is not tangible in any kind of mental way. It's not something that I can ascribe attributes to. It's an energy force or something that is a force of creation. No, this is an intelligent being that's going to have to give answers to for how you lived your life here. The knowledge of God will dictate that to us. That I'm going to have to give an account to God. Changed the world, wouldn't it? Changes the way we think about things. See, right now I can say, there is no God. I get upset about life. I don't think life's worth living. This is happening all over our land on a regular basis. People are getting to the point that they're tired of living. They're tired of the problems of life. And they're starting to say, I don't care whether I live or die. And if I'm going to die, I'm going to take the ones that I hate with me. So I'm going to go kill a bunch of people. I'm going to kill the guys that worked with that treated me wrong. I'm going to go to my ex-wife, my ex, my parents, my ex-parent, my brother, my sister, everybody that got me wrong. I'm going to execute them and then I'll die. Because there is nothing to face after that, right? Well, we ain't doing that. But you know, sometimes we act the same way. I act like that I can hold an attitude or I can hold a position against my brother. I can hold that kind of a place and act like that's okay with God. It's not okay with God. Nor knowledge of God in the land. No knowledge or understanding of that there is a God in heaven. We're going to have to face that God. This is what happens to a land where they forgot these ideas. By swearing and lying. Why not? As long as I can get the best of you. But if there's no knowledge of God, swearing, lying, and killing? This is what follows the bad choice. This is what follows not coming to the place of surrendering my heart to the Lord, of pursuing the Lord. He wants us to know Him. And as I know Him, that swearing, cursing attitude, that goes away. As I get knowledge of God, I love that truth of God. That lying tongue goes away. I don't want that in my life. It's so opposite of my hero. It's so opposite of the one I want to be like. Killing and stealing and committing adultery. There's a truth. We're not willing to face the truth. He puts in here and committing adultery, that drive, that desire, that lust of the flesh that drives people. It's there. But the Lord told us what the truth was. And yet the land accepts so much less than that. These things follow in a land that don't know God. They break out. Lord help us, this word break out is talking about God putting these boundaries around us of truth and mercy and His commandments. You think God's a hard taskmaster because He put commandments on us. Those commandments are great barriers for our lives. To defend us against the bad things of life, God gave those things to follow. It isn't that God just sat up there and think, I'll think up another rule to throw a twist in their lives. No, every one of these has a specific reason for them that keeps you and I from the wicked one, that keeps us out of harm's way, and He puts restraints. You don't like that. Humanity don't like it. Don't restrain me. Let me go. Let me loose. In the flesh, in any way I want. Young people, listen to me, because this word really applies to generation after generation after generation of our young people. They want to break out. They want to say, cut the restraints. Let me out of this system that you got around me. Let me loose from this. Folks, we ain't up here trying to put you in bondage. We're not up here trying to say that we want to put a rule on you for rule's sake. We ain't up here trying to be lords over God's heritage. What we say is the Word of God that has restraints for the soul. For the life that we live, that it'll be wholesome and right and good, and it's in a protective barrier. And what do they say? I want to break out of that. I want to break loose. Give me a place of no restraints. Let me go to fulfill anything I want to and how I feel and what I want to do and whatever happens, that's what I want to do. Don't you dare lay something on me. You're intolerant for saying that. But Marty, watch out. You're intolerant for saying that it's one man and one woman. That's intolerant. Folks, we ain't yet to see what the corruption's going to happen from this and these things. And there's a... Don't break out. They want to break out. Let me break out. And then in the next term there, young people, listen to me. I know, because generation after generation, I see those that get ready to... They're chomping at the bit. They're starting to push all the lines and just saying, boy, when my 18th birthday comes, I can't stand these restrictions. I can't stand these rules. Okay, I will admit that these things are restrictive to the flesh. They are. They are. We admit it. They are restrictive to the flesh. You can't just do anything you want to do and live for God. You can't do it. You should do anything you want to do, because you should want to do what pleases the Lord. That's the way it ought to work. But I want to warn you tonight that there is a choice that God sets before us, and it's Himself. He sets Himself, Jesus Christ, before us and says, know me, and I'll free you. Know me, and I'll bless your life. Know me, and I'll make good things to happen in your life. I am an eyewitness of what I call the blessings of Ruth. Ruth was a woman... Read about her. She was a woman that gave herself to a cause beyond her. She could have been selfish. She could have lived that way, but she didn't. She gave herself. And she was impressive. But listen, it's one thing to impress man. I'm going to tell you what Ruth did. She impressed God. God looked down on her. And for those of you, I would say this. Choose the blessings of Ruth. Look at what God did for Ruth. He took her part. Poor, downcast. But Lord made something. He done something. He gave her something. I've seen in my life young girls that do that. And hold themselves and keep their integrity and keep themselves. And go, sometimes they don't get the special blessings of life a lot of time. But when they hold that truth, God gives them the blessings of Ruth. They are prosper. You know, it's the same for young men too. You give yourselves to the Lord and it's called life and good. And God will bless. Don't break out. Oh, I want to break out. I want to just break loose of this. I want to express myself. I can see the frustration. I can see the longing sometimes. I want to just run experience. Lord, help us.
There's death and destruction waiting. Scripture says that there was a man that had two sons. An elder and a younger. The younger comes to his father and says, "Father, give me that which belongs to me." He did. You say, "Well, I don't know if I'd have done that." That father set in the place of God. You go to him in the choice that he says, "Here is everything that you need." And you go and say, "Give me that which belongs to me." He'll give it to you. You got the right of created choice to run into the world all you want to. You can take your goods and spend it on riotous living if you want to. But in this story, the man went and the young man went and he spent all of his goods. He connected himself to a strange country and he connected himself to the people and he spent all of his stuff on riotous living. There come a famine in the land, and there always does. It always does. And then when he couldn't even get hog food, he said within himself, "I know what I'll do." When he come to himself and he realized he had broke out. "I don't want this fuddy-duddy stuff. I don't want all this stuff." I'm going to tell you what he found. He found heartache and sorrow. And I'll tell you something else. This way of living, if you don't put your heart into it, is a fuddy-duddy, awful way to live. If you don't put your heart into it, you ain't going to get anything out of it. It ain't going to be fun. It's going to be miserable. Singing these same old songs over and over and over and over. And somebody will stand up and say, "Been singing these for 60 years and they still just so good." And you're sitting there saying, "What?" You can have that same testimony. But it's a choice. It's a choice that we make. He said he came to himself and he said, "I know what I'll do. My father has more than enough for his hired servants. I'll go back and say, I'm not more worthy to be your son." It's a beautiful story at the end of that, because he went back and while he was yet a long ways off, his father saw him because he was looking for him to come home. And he rejoiced when he come home. It's a beautiful story of redemption and being able to come back. But I'm going to tell you something. Most don't. Most that go away don't come back. They make a choice. "I don't want to know him." They break out. Don't put the restrictions that you feel so pressured by, young people, are barriers against the awfulness of sin and corruption of this world. That's going to destroy your ability to be functional in marriage. Oh, so it's somebody else's fault. Or they don't treat me right. Or I want to have fun and I don't understand. You'll get to the place that you won't have that understanding at all, that you made that choice and went that way. Amen. It'll be what life does to you, and you'll never even see it and understand it. But it's predictable. I'll break out of this old way of living. I'm going to tell you, this is the way to go. This is blessing. And blood touches blood. Best I can understand that point is it was talking about the idea of killing animals, killing maybe sacrifices, whatever it was, when that blood run down. If you can get the analogy, it runs down. You can see it, water do it on a windshield. You can see things raining. You can see little tributaries join together and get more forceful. And the blood drips down and the blood comes from another area and it hits in and it goes more and it goes until there's a river of it. And blood touches blood is meaning that it's accumulative. That once you break out of this, folks, you'll get into a river of destruction that you can't stop. And one thing leads to the other, and one bad habit will go to another, and then one thing will go to another, and one lie is a bigger lie, and one killing's a bigger killing, and one theft is another theft. And one corruption of your mind is another corruption of your mind. And one thing gets over until it's like a cart rope that you can't break.
It starts out as a thread, but it gets so big that you can't break it by your own. You'd want to break it and you can't. It's like the habits of drink and of smoke and of drugs that get in people's lives, and they want to quit and they desire to quit, and oh, they want to quit, but they can't quit. Because it gets too big and blood touches blood and it goes on and it accumulates to the point that, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do? I want to help, but I can't get it. Had an experience at home with a woman named Denise. Several folks up there would still remember her. She was, she was involved in the world's oldest profession. A lady of the evening. And she had once got saved in a tent meeting up there. It had been years before, and I didn't know her back then, of course, but she got saved, and she had went back on the Lord, and from time to time her life would get so miserable, and she was in such a bad shape in her mind that she would long to be better, long to be delivered. She would call us for prayer. She'd come to meetings. She'd different things, and I'm going to tell you, I got under a burden for her one time. She had come, and it didn't seem like she ever really got help, and she always wanted help, and she tried to get help, and she was so ingrained in her life of drugs and of bad things, and she was so ingrained, and she would want prayer, and we would pray and all these things, and finally I got under such a burden for her, and I was praying and fasting and asking the Lord and begging the Lord. I'm telling the Lord, Lord, this is the woman you died for. If anybody fits this, this is her. Lord, help her. I wanted so much to see her delivered. I know God can do that. I know God can change lives. I know that there, where sin abounds, the grace of God does more. I know God can reach to the uttermost and save them. I know He can. But He didn't her. And I got a call one night and said, Denise killed herself. I was devastated. Lord, how? Why? She called so much for prayer. She wanted prayer. I struggled with it. And you know, the Lord finally gave me the answer that satisfied me. She wanted free from the effects of sin, but she never hated sin. She loved what she was doing. And she would not quit. She did not want to quit. And when the Lord spoke that to me, I got to thinking back and how many times that woman said, just pray that the Lord would help me to get better in my mind over this. She never said, delivered out of this. I never wanted to change what she was and what she had become. And you'd say, how could somebody possibly want to stay in to something that was corrupting and ruining their life so much? She was bound with an enormous cord of life, of years of living. I want to say to you young people tonight, God sets before you Himself to choose Him to fulfill. And it doesn't seem like it at times. You look and say, how can I give that up when I so much want that? You're making a decision when you don't know what the decision really is. When God comes in, He makes that not be what it was. I know people that tried to live saved without being saved. I'll see what this is like. You can't do that. It doesn't work. You can't live saved without being saved. You got to be saved, then it changes everything. I looked at things before and said, this will be hard. And it wasn't hard. Living for the Lord isn't hard. It's easy. He does it, most all of it. God is the way to go. Blood touches blood. And the worse it goes, the worse it gets. And our world is not primed up for getting better. It's going to get worse. And blood is going to touch blood more and more. It's going to touch more and more. There's more breaking out. This society is breaking out from God. It is rebelling against the things that God put there to bless human life. It's breaking out of the institution of marriage. I'm breaking loose. Don't you put that on me. With adultery, with alternative lifestyle, I'm breaking loose of that. I'm breaking loose of the commandments. Don't put them up on anything. Don't want to hear it. Don't put it up. We're breaking loose from the idea of God. We are gods to ourselves. We'll dictate who lives, who dies. We'll dictate it with this or that. We'll dictate it all. You get to a certain point, we'll grow you new. You get a bad heart, we'll grow you a new one with your own self. We can do it. I've heard about these machines and these different things that they're trying, and they're thinking right on the things that they can put certain things in and then make. Actually, they're talking about being able to make body parts so that your body won't reject it. Now, I don't know about all this, so I'm just going to tell you. It's breaking out. We are going to try to give ourselves eternal life. We're going to try to make ourselves God, because we don't want your boundaries. It's the only way to life is God's boundaries. Over in Philippians, seventh verse of the third chapter says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. This don't sound like a man that's willing to break out to me. This sounds like a man that was saying, Lord, I'm wanting to follow you. Lord, I want more of you. I want to know you. I want to know you to the point that I'm willing to count what I have had as dung. I'm willing to take whatever I've had, throw it away. I'm willing to take all this is that I am choosing Christ. I want more Christ in my life. I want that. What will it take? It's going to take throwing those things away. Maybe not literally. But our affections and desires for those things, Lord, they're nothing to me. I want to know you. I want to know who you are. I want more of you in my life. You're set before me to know. I want to know who you are. I have times in my life that I'll give you a challenge. Start praying, Lord, let me know you. Let me be more like you. You're asking for something. And he'll be faithful. And he'll allow those things to come into your life. When you get through, you'll realize that you sat right where Jesus sat. And he'll allow you to experience the things that he experienced when he was here. You'll be aware of how he responds and what he is about. Lord, I want to know who you are. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, being made conformable unto his death, to really be able to realize that this is God. Several years ago, I was in a big hospital, and I was in an elevator and met a lady in there, and I asked her, well, what are you doing here? Most of the time, somebody in a place like that is, it's not a good thing. So I asked her, what are you doing in here? And she said, I have a friend that's in the intensive care. I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. What's their name? I'll pray for him. She said, that'd be good. I'd appreciate that. She said, but I really don't need that. She reached in her pocket and she pulled out these stones. And she said, because I've got these stones. She's rubbing these stones. And this stone, she had three of them, I think. And it was like a purple and a white one. And you know what the other was. She said, this is a healing stone here. And I rubbed this stone, and I'm okay. I don't know what to say to her. I mean, it would have been real hard to say, ah, you're kidding. But I know what I thought. I know the one that made those. I know the one God. I know the one who made them stones. There's no truth in that, stones. There's no power in there. There's no energy in there. There's nothing, you can't get nothing out of that. It was sad. It was sad to me that somebody believed in stones. Lord, help us. When God has set Himself before this world, it's been proven. It's worked. It works. Lord, help us. That I might know Him. I'm going to tell you, whatever the gimmicks that you may have or in your life or whatever, or people have in their lives, you get to know Christ and you'll soon put those gimmicks away. Whatever it is that your hang up is, now I can sit and say your hang up's a bad thing for you and all that, but it won't do you any good. But this is what I can say, you get to know the Lord. And everything else will be pale in comparison. Let me promise you this. You got a hang up? You get Lord in your life. You choose the Lord and start following Him and allow Him to bless your life and become real to your life. And it'll be better than any roller coaster ride you ever take. It'll be better than anything that you ever entertained with. It'll be something down here that works all the time. It'll be something that works and a reality of it. I know that it's something that needs nurtured and took care of. I know that it needs a daily working on. I know that. But it's there. It's there. And yet that's what we all need in our lives. It is the solution to your problem, no matter what your problem is. That I might know Christ in this. That God might reveal Himself in this place and show me what I need to be, what I need in my life. He's good. He's good to do it. He's good to reveal Himself to us. It is what we're supposed to be. Jesus Christ. That's what I'm supposed to be. And I look and I say, I don't know who I'd like to be like Him, but I don't know. You ever get into a place you say, I don't know what to do. I know what I want to do. I want to do what Jesus would do, but I just don't know what He would do here. He wants you to know what He is willing to do for you in this life. There is multitudes of religion in this world. There is religions that claims all this fleshly benefits in the other life. Said about the guys that flew into the towers up there in New York, that they was promised 70 virgins in an afterlife. That was the motivation for that. There's people that's promised all kind of things in this life. There was one preacher that used to preach that if you serve the Lord and sin, he had one message, and that was send me your money. You send me your money and God will bless you. You can't outgive God. You send me your money and God will bless you. Now you would probably think, well, people would never fall for that. $1 million a week that guy pulled in for a long time. $1 million a week. People were so, no. If I send the money, it's easier than getting out of this adulterous life. Getting out of here is better than, it's easier than forgiving that guy that done me wrong. I'll send him my money. What an easy thing to do. I'll send the preacher my money and I'll be just fine. You know, they fall for that more than they fall for the gospel truth. Well, again, the world ain't here, but we're here. We're here to follow that. Lord, help us. That we're not making up some kind of an excuse for the way I live my life. But Lord, help me to make that choice tonight to divert all this bad and evil that's going to come in. And it will. You don't serve the Lord. It will. It'll come. It may not come tonight. It may come in steps and processes of time. But oh, we weep and cry and look at situations. I could name you a bunch, folks. Young people that's there at that age, you think it can't happen to you, and that's what the generation before you thought. And I can name you over and over. I can name you a list of
young people that got up to that point and decided that it wasn't beneficial to serve the Lord. And they went out and they done the things in the Lord, little at a time, and they got out there. And they're most all in broken homes and broken families, drunken stupors, being beat, all those kind of things, and don't even know hardly that they're there. Don't even know hardly where they left out at. All that fell on them, and all at the same time, here was the one saying, choose me. Choose me, and I'll give you the best life that you can have. Choose the Lord, it's set before us. You pray for me.